Thanks for listening to Countdown to Kickoff. Now, 97.9 FM, WCHL Championship Sports, present The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Larry Fedora and Bubba Cunningham are here, and they have taken football in another direction.
An old-school traditionalist. I want to go back to 8 members, including South Carolina.
Join us for the next hour of our pregame coverage as Art Chansky and internet legend Bob Lee discuss Carolina football and all the hot topics concerning college football here in town, across the ACC, and across the country.
Again underneath to Morris. Morris at the 40, 35, 30. Romar's going to go. Go, Romar, go. Touchdown, Carolina.
I look more at how we do against institutions that I consider our comparables, and certainly Virginia would be in that.
Larry Fedora is Bill Belichickian in his approach to injuries.
A win today, particularly after last week, will help quite a bit, if only for the short term, before we have to face some other realities.
A win here, he becomes a hero to Tar Heel Nation.
Now, page 2 of 97.9 FM's exclusive Carolina football pregame coverage. The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
This is Art Chansky, and I hope Zero Dark Thursday will be a bigger surprise for the Hurricanes as it was for its namesake, for old Ben Logan back in the day.
This is Bob Lee. Miami is in town for a night game. Connor Barth, where are you?
Next from WCHL Championship Sports, it's time for The Good Sports. Art C.
That's me.
And Bob Lee.
That's me.
And I'm Ron Stutz. Today is Good Sports with Bob Lee and Art C. coming to you live from Bailey Sports Grill at Rams Plaza as we count down to the Tar Heels game with Miami. Good afternoon, Good Sports. What do you think?
Good afternoon, Ron Stutz, the man, the legend. Nice to be with you again. Hey, this is what I think about the show, the game, and especially our guest. We have later on the entertaining and the informative ex-coach of East Carolina and the current Raleigh radio rage, Steve Logan.
All right. Good guest, always.
Art, we're all sitting around here wearing black. We're into this Zero Dark thing. Who says Carolina fans don't care?
I never said that. There are some people you wonder about, though.
Well, it'll be interesting to see just how many people are not wearing black tonight.
So some are wearing black. Others will be wearing aluminum.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well,
right. Yeah, you're talking about the seats, I guess, right?
No, when
we got Bubba. Holy cow.
Right.
Before the word has just come in, we got Bubba.
Before we get to Bubba, the whole idea of a Zero Dark Thursday is one where everybody's going to be wearing dark shirts, correct?
I think that's correct, sir.
Is that correct? And everybody's expected to stay at the game for the entire game?
I don't think that was part of the deal.
It wasn't?
No.
You ask Bubba when he gets
home. Everyone who missed Connor Barth's field goal hopefully will learn their lesson and will stick it out.
I think that was the deal.
How about all your Patriot fans who left early last Sunday night?
That's right. They had their season tickets.
Or all your Red Sox fans who left before Big Pappy came to bat.
Poppy, baby.
Poppy, whatever.
I think it's a great concept. Not only get your tickets to the game, but actually go to the game and actually stay at the game and watch the Tar Heels play. And that'll help them win.
Is that something we're trying to institute here?
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, good idea.
Turn that battleship with a hard right left. Yeah. Turn that aircraft carrier.
It's kind of a novel idea, but I think it can work. Why don't we go downtown?
I think they started that when Choo Choo was throwing to Art Weiner and 12 people were sitting there drinking mint juleps.
Tar Heel Downtown is taking place right now down on West Franklin Street in the 100 block. WCHL's Rand Northam is here with the crew, and I understand he has Carolina's Director of Athletics, Bubba Cunningham.
Yes, thank you very much, Ron. We are live here on Franklin Street. It is just, it's loud, it's hopping, and we do have the Athletic Director, Bubba Cunningham. Bubba, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, Rand, thank you. It's great to be here.
And let's not waste any time. What do you predict of the score tonight? How do you see it going?
I don't have any predictions on score, but it's a great day. I love the enthusiasm. I really appreciate the effort of the town, the university community to make it happen on a Thursday night. And I think the atmosphere down here is absolutely terrific.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the steps taken to get a Thursday night game here. You know, everyone knows that TV has a lot to do with the scheduling and the conferences have a lot of say. But when it comes to a Thursday night game, what was done to make this opportunity happen?
Well, we, as a league, as the ACC, we have 5 non-Saturday obligations to ESPN. And typically we rotate those around the league in some fashion. Virginia Tech has been, you know, on a Thursday night every year. This is the first time they're not. And last year we were at Virginia. So it's kind of our turn to take a non-Saturday day. And we know it disrupts the campus. And I, again, can't thank the community enough. But we do have that obligation. But it does give great exposure to the downtown area as well as to the university community.
Rand Northam speaking with UNC Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham. There's been a lot of talk in years past about the pushback that athletics, or excuse me, that academic, the academic side has done, the business side, you know, the hospital closing down those lots, or not closing them down, but putting more traffic in those lots. What about this year? Did it help at all that it was on fall break, and did that make people, you know, a little happier?
Yeah, we only do it on fall break, so we wouldn't have a Thursday night game unless it was fall break. And so it's been terrific, and I do think fans enjoy it. I think it's a good atmosphere, but we certainly don't need a steady diet of it. I love Saturday afternoon college football.
And what kind of energy have you seen from the coaches, from the staff, from the players, from the administration, everything for this Thursday night? I felt the energy here tonight, but as far as elsewhere, what are you feeling for this game?
We feel the same way. There's a lot of energy about the game. ESPN is here. It is a night game. It's a quality opponent in the University of Miami. So there's a lot of excitement in the air. So I hope we play as well as everybody feels.
Rand Northam speaking with UNC Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham. If we could step away from football for just a moment. You know, the Carolina family was hit hard with the diagnosis of Sylvia Hatchell this week, and still feeling that a bit right now. And I don't want to go into the personal details, but if you could, tell me what you're hearing from the Hatchell family and how she's doing right now.
Well, the only thing we hear from the Hatchell family is what you would expect to hear. Her enthusiasm, her energy is remarkable. Her spirit is undeniable. And so she's getting a lot of well-wishers, and including the entire department in this community. And, you know, she's a fighter. She's going to be great, and we can't wait to get her back.
You took the words right out of my mouth. How does it feel to have that fighter on your staff as well, to have her as a part of the UNC athletic family?
That's how you get 900 wins and get in the Hall of Fame.
That's exactly right. Rand Northam speaking with UNC Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham. And back to football before I let you go. The college football landscape has really been taken by the multi-uniform era. And, you know, Carolina's got a lot of them now. We're seeing the all-black tonight, the different helmets, the matte helmet with the light blue or the Carolina blue on it. What do you see in the multi-uniform era? Is it something that the players and the teams are enjoying about it? What does that do for the team to have all those different jerseys?
You know, you have to remember, these are 18 to 22-year-old kids, and we're recruiting 16, 17-year-old kids. It's the enthusiasm about something new, some new cool stuff. So Carolina blue and white is absolutely our school colors. But what we'd like to try to introduce is kind of a tar pit series, something that would be unique to us that we'd only do once a year.
That's excellent. And finally, Bubba, we know Coach Fedora is got to be a few Red Bulls to the wind. How many Red Bulls have you had today?
I don't have any. Just being here gives me great enthusiasm. And, Rand, I love your all-black outfit today. Appreciate being with the spirit.
Definitely. Thank you. That's Bubba Cunningham, the UNC Athletic Director. We've got Chancellor Folt here as well. If we could steal just a couple more minutes of your time, good sports. I'm going to give it back to you, I promise. But right now we're going to bring Chancellor Carol Folt over and talk newly installed Chancellor Carol Folt. Thanks so much for joining us. What are you feeling right now? This has got to be just electric for you, I'm sure.
It's so much fun. Everybody is just having a blast.
Well, thanks so much for being with us. What does this do for the town-gown relationship with Carolina and Chapel Hill?
Well, I was just told by the mayor that a lot of these businesses aren't normally even open on this day, so to see everybody here in and out of the business celebrating together is really fantastic.
Do you have any kind of prediction for tonight? I know the energy is high here, and that's what Carolina needs for a win, but any kind of prediction for the outcome?
We are going to win!
Kenny Mann said so, so that
absolutely,
sounds like it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, it's going to be a great game.
And the weather, do you have any say as the weather? Can you hold on to it for a little bit longer and let people stay dry here?
I may not have any say over the weather, but I'm hoping.
All right. Thanks so much for joining
Thank
us.
You.
Best of luck to your team tonight, and we look forward to talking to you in the future.
Great. Thanks for being here.
Once again, the Chancellor of UNC, Carol Folt. We're going to send it back now to the Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee live at Rams Plaza. Oh, no, wait. One more second. We've got the mayor, Mark Kleinschmidt. Thanks so much for joining us. How about this? This is great.
This is fantastic. I mean, if you're at home or in a car somewhere, you need to be here, like, now. This is an extraordinary event. I can't believe how many people are here. This is usually one of our slowest days of the year, the first day of fall break, and downtown is hopping.
all black. You've got your black on. You've got your Carolina Blue shirt on.
Yep.
You're ready. You're blacked out. You're ready to go. Talk about the energy. When that band came through, I saw you running, I think, down Franklin Street.
Well, I don't know. A lot of people might know that I used to be in the marching band at Carolina. And so I saw them coming down the street. And yeah, I ran after them and I waved at my old section and as if they knew who I was. But it was
of course
great.
They do.
You know, I know all the words of those songs. And we need them downtown more often. And I'm talking to folks. I'm like, why don't we do this more? Other towns and cities have festivals every week. This is clearly not something we should be afraid of. We built beautiful spaces like this plaza here at 140, and we need to use it for the benefit of the community. And that means bringing the campus out, bringing the town together, and I'm really looking forward to this being the first of many such events.
Yeah, can you see this on a Saturday night maybe? Get a Saturday night game and, shut down Franklin Street?
How much fun would that be?
I want it.
I want to be there at that event. And you know who I think would appreciate it? Are a lot of our business owners here. Those who, like I said, would traditionally may even consider closing on this day each year because it's, heck, the students are gone. Fall break has started. It's usually a really slow day. And today, they're probably breaking every record that they, you know, every sales record for the first day of fall break. That's for sure.
Outstanding. Mayor Kleinschmidt, thanks so much for joining us. Have fun, enjoy, and maybe we'll get a Carolina win tonight.
Oh, that would be so sweet. Wouldn't that be a great way to top it off?
That would be outstanding. Thanks so much. Once again, Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt. Guys, I promise I won't take any more of your time. Let's spend it back now to the good sports with Artsy and Bob Lee. Lots to talk about with Carolina and Miami coming your way.
All right, this is Ron Stutz. All that excitement taking place downtown on West Franklin Street. And the guys here are just chomping at the bit. They got things to say here.
Stutz, I got a question. Couldn't Rand find a homeless Vietnam vet in front of the post office to talk to?
Well, he forgot.
Goodness sakes.
Really, I mean, he forgot to ask Chancellor Hull how this compares to Hanover downtown before the Dartmouth Brown game.
And the question everybody really wants to know, Chancellor Folt, how tall are you? Are you really that short? Is she like a tall midget or what?
Oh, man, I'm not getting involved in
ten,
that.
Let me just 10 say. Red Bulls to the wind. I love that one.
And I can look, and the question I wanted to ask my good friend Bubba, I've got this entire nursing home over in Burlington. They're average 83 years old. They're all great Tar Heel fans. They hate all these little gimmicky uniforms. I need Bubba's personal cell phone number to tell these people who to call to complain to. I'm tired of them calling me.
But here's the truth.
Yeah.
Hey, I got one fan has sent me this email. I don't know exactly what this means, but I'm going to read it to you. It says, "Be careful. Once you go black, you never go back." What does that mean?
Oh Lord, I think we got to talk the rules of cornholing now. We have lost it now. Whose idea was this? Where is Leffler?
Oh, let me see if I can rein this in for a second here. You're listening to the Good Sports with Art C and Bob Lee. I'm Ron Stutz. Oops, I didn't mean to say that.
It's all Ron Stutz.
Art Chansky and Bob Lee here.
We've lost Steve Logan for sure.
No, he's laughing.
Do we have Steve Logan? Is he ready?
Yeah, he's being called. I told him it was a little delay.
Okay.
That right. We were going to have the mayor pro tem, the former mayor, the chancellor, the former chancellor, and the athletic director.
I want to get
good
Jennifer.
Thing we didn't have the former athletic
How
director.
How about Jennifer the Tutor? Can we get Jennifer the Tutor in here?
Greg
Little's uncle that runs the used car lot. Is there anybody we haven't had on so far?
No, we're going to go back to Franklin Street. We found somebody. Hey, let's talk a little bit. 1 minute on the Virginia Tech game. What do you think?
I think so. Enter Sandman.
Oh, boy.
Beamer ball.
Beamer ball. Hey, look. We were a few plays away from winning that game.
Absolutely.
How did you feel about the fact that they didn't even tell us that Bryn Renner wasn't going to play before the game?
Well, that's Belichickian.
That is Belichickian.
That is Bill Belichickian. I don't think you need to tell them. And I thought we played better up there than most people thought we would. And so what?
Do we have a bit of a controversy on our hands now? I mean, Bryn Renner's going to start tonight, but will he finish?
I don't know. We could always bring in T.J. Yates, although he didn't do too well when he came in for Max Schaub.
No, I think Marquise was better. I think he got better as the game went on. And the whole deal is now we're 1-4. This is the halfway point of the season.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't win tonight, are you going to start looking ahead to next season? Or are you going to try and play out this season without
I had this discussion with a former UNC coach at London, and I won't mention his name. There is, and I don't remember.
What did the Buntino say?
No, it was not Buntino. talking about this other quarterback whose name I can't remember, who is the next Bryn Renner on our staff. They're trying to redshirt him, and I think they will hold his shirt. Mitch.
Trubisky.
Trubisky. Yeah. I don't see us burning the shirt.
No, no, no. I'm saying Marquise Williams has to get more playing time to be ready for next year, unlike Bryn got when he was a redshirt freshman, right. Didn't get in the game at all.
No, okay, I think you stick with those two, and assuming neither one of them gets hurt, and you alternate them based on the type of defense. And Bryn Renner is the same quarterback he was. He just doesn't have quite as much time because he doesn't have Jonathan Cooper and a few other guys. He doesn't have Geo as his handoff guy, and he's still Bryn Renner. He's still a gunslinger back there when he gets the time.
The Guns, what's that song? The Gunslinger song. What is that song? The Guns.
I don't know, man.
I think that was Marty Robbins in El Paso.
All right,
there you go.
All right, so let's put out. We heard the Franklin Street version of Zero Dark Duty or whatever it is tonight.
Right.
What's your version of it? I want to know. Do you like the name?
The name is all right. I mean, I understand sports marketing, and again, I talk to a lot of baby boomers. And they don't like change. And you and I are baby boomers. We've been around Carolina football for, 50 years almost? Back in the Jim Hickey days and almost when Jim Tatum got bit by the Rocky Mountain tick. And there have always been changes. There have been uniform changes. Dick Crum did a uniform change during the LG
years.
Yeah,
he went from the interlocking NC to the interlocking UNC.
And how many people still think kindly of Dick Crum? But anyway, there have been other changes. About every decade or so, they make some kind of switch. So this isn't all that big a deal. I'm a traditionalist, you know, and I bristle a little bit, but I don't control Madison Avenue as a baby boomer anymore. None of us here do, except for Anthony, who is our resident millennial over there.
Well, you have to give our crack marketing staff at Carolina props for, you know, trying something, coming up with something. But I think it's a borderline bad taste.
Well,
to name it after a very memorable, serious moment in American warfare when Osama bin Laden was killed. Now, you might not believe that, but the funny part about it is that we killed him that night, and metaphorically speaking, we might get killed tonight. What do you think, Ron?
Whoa, boy, that just set back the Carolina effective. Carolina Fever just had a fit over that
Really, it's the fifth-ranked team in the country. They're undefeated. We're 1-4. We're struggling, you know. I mean,
I'm going to go back and check the stats, folks.
But are we – okay, here's one for you.
Get Woody on the phone.
Wait a minute now. Are we any worse – tonight than we were the Bunning team that upset Florida State after we were 0-3 back in whatever it was, 2002 or 3 or 2001.
That was Bunning's first year.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we came home to play SMU, definitely our first win.
Right.
And then 9/11 happened.
Right.
That game was postponed. And so looking like we were going to go 0-4, but then we upset the Seminoles.
So, in other words, there are such things as upsets, and it could happen tonight, and we'll go anyway. And, you know, as we were talking about earlier, this what happened in Boston.
You're getting soft in your old
age. I'm getting soft.
What are you talking about?
I like Bubba and Larry. I told you that at the beginning of the year. I'm not going to say anything bad about my coach, Larry. I like Larry.
You don't have to say anything bad about Larry. He didn't.
I like
not his
Caning.
Players.
I'm the one guy in Chapel Hill not named Caning that likes Caning.
It's not his players. He's inherited a roster that, you know, it's going to take him a couple of years to replace.
We'll see what Coach Logan says about that. You know, the guy we're playing against, Al Golden, or that Al London. I get London and Golden mixed up. Al Golden.
Golden is the country over in Europe. So I can understand why you get
no,
that.
No, I do. Yeah, exactly. He is the guy with the white shirt and the tie. But he went through, three kind of subpar years at the U, and the little dwarf down there, what's her name, Donna whatever, the little the midget chancellor they have. She stuck with
how
him.
How PC are you? Donna Shalala.
Donna Shalala. Yeah, we call her other things over where I hang out. But anyway, she stuck with Golden, and now he's recruited enough people out of Killian High School's detention room to he's got a good team now. He's got his whole group of Marvin Austins and Greg Littles down there.
Now if Neville Shapiro will ever get out of jail, right?
Yeah, I wonder what they're doing. How many showers he takes in the federal pen in Tallahatchie.
Well, that's another day, discussion for another day, because that decision should have been passed on. But we haven't heard yet, and it's because of how the NCAA botched that investigation and what the Miami lawyers have on the NCAA. And
I got a question for you, Chansky. You and I are historical buffs.
Okay.
The last time that there was a Thursday night game in Chapel Hill, the big Thursday night game, who made an appearance on the sidelines for the first time in over 20 years that night?
A player?
A player of some repute.
A former player? Chris Hamburger.
Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, Lawrence Taylor.
And I remember Erin Andrews with her tight little jeans, skinny jeans and boots, interviewed Lawrence Taylor. It was the first time he'd been back in Kenan Stadium since he left back in the Crum era.
Was he booed? Was he cheered?
Oh, no, he was wildly cheered.
That just showed you.
Except by all the 15-year-old hookers in the stadium at the time.
That just goes to prove, doesn't it?
It goes to prove.
America will forgive.
But I actually mentioned
forget.
Chris Hamburger in a column this week.
Hey, anyway, we're gonna cut away for. We're not gonna cut away anymore. No more cutaways.
No more Rand Northerns, unless he finds that homeless Vietnam vet.
But we're taking a break, and then we're gonna come back with the coach, Steve Logan.
That is on the way next on WCHL's The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee.
Basketball and the Big Apple, what more could you want? Well, with the Continental Tire Basketball and Big Apple giveaway presented by Seagrove's Insurance, you'll get that plus much more. How about a trip for two to New York City to watch the Tar Heels play in the Hall of Fame Tip-Off Classic? There are 38 sponsor locations around town for you to submit an entry to, including Home Watch Caregivers, Kitchen Works, Louise Beck Properties, Mama Dips, and Moe's Bottle Shop. We're drawing finalists from each location every week for the next 4 weeks. You can also become a finalist by calling into the WCHL morning, afternoon, and evening news every weekday by submitting an entry online at chapelboro.com or on Chapelboro's Facebook page. Remember, you can enter via every entry method in every sponsor location once each week, including PTA Thrift Shop, R&R Grill, 10,000 Villages, and Southern Rail. So make sure you're one of our finalists for the Continental Tire Basketball and Big Apple Giveaway, presented by Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. But what does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall, and PC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T, the nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim based on national carrier's average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim based on data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
Carolina football on 97.9 FM WCHL. Brought to you by Harrington Bank, Franklin Street Realty, UNC Healthcare, Fitz Lumber and Hardware, Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, Landscape Logic, AT&T Wireless, and by GEICO. Follow the action on your flagship station for Carolina football, 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
At Harrington Bank, it pays to be a customer. As your local community bank, we are working on the best ways to earn you more money, which is why we offer competitive CD rates. Call or stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn which account is right for you. We are located in Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Most of us don't get to work at home in our PJs. If traffic and a commute are part of your daily routine, let us make that part of your day a little more enjoyable. Stop by Cruisers and enjoy a fresh brewed coffee and fresh baked biscuit in the morning, or a refreshing fountain drink with chewy ice, a hot dog, or a snack to end your day. Cruisers has four commuter-friendly area locations at Chapel Hill North, Glen Lennox, Powell Place, and Briar Chapel.
Cruisers, good to go.
You're listening to The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. I'm Ron Stutz at WCHL. We're broadcasting live from Bailey Sports Grill at the beautifully renovated Rams Plaza at the corner of Ephesus Church and Fordham Boulevard in Chapel Hill. And real quickly here, I want to mention something really important coming up. It is the 9th annual Roy Williams Fast Break Against Cancer coming Friday, October 25th at the Dean Smith Center in the morning. Join the coach, Bill Cowher, head coach of the NFL's Pittsburgh Steelers from 1992 to 2006. Plus, Woody Durham will be there and members of the Carolina men's basketball family. It's the 9th annual Fast Break Against Cancer. This is a seated breakfast event on the floor of the Smith Center, the perfect way for dedicated Tar Heels to kick off the basketball season. Tickets are limited. We expect a sellout crowd. Purchase your tickets online at support.unclineberger.org/fastbreak. Now, once again, here is Art Chansky.
Hey, thank you, Ron, and we're back here at Bailey's. You know, Bailey's has not only 35 TVs and 36 beers, or is it 36 TVs and 35 beers? I don't know. But anyway, it has the largest beer, no, the largest TV screen in Chapel Hill, 88 inches. How about that, Bob Lee?
I'm blown away by that. That thing is so, that sucker's bigger than Jerry Jones's.
Well, it's probably bigger than the Chancellor too.
Chancellor would fit inside that TV.
According to your measurements,
if you stood it on its end, it would be taller than the Chancellor.
By the way, the Chancellor wants to see you in her office on Monday morning, 9 o'clock. Be there, be square. Anyway, we are so happy to have with us on the Good Sports the former coach of the East Carolina Pirates, former coach of NFL Europe. Now a broadcasting star in his own right in Raleigh, Steve Logan. And Logan, how you doing?
I couldn't get any better. I'm on my back deck and got a Merlot open, and I'm laid back and doing really good. What's going on over there?
Well, we're getting ready for a game that we hope is a game, and we're relying on you to tell us whether it's going to be a game or not. I mean, the Tar Heels have any chance in hell to win this game?
I'll tell you what, if I were coaching in that game, I would – say again?
Go ahead.
We got you.
Okay, I was talking to somebody today, and if I were coaching the Tar Heels, I would be telling my football team that we were going to have to find a way to be +3 in the turnover category to find a way to, you know, make this a game. Because right now, you know, UNC – we all agree they're just really struggling on a lot of different fronts. And the only way out for their defense right now, they're going to have to create some turnovers somehow, some way. And if that happens, you could have a football game.
Well, that brings up a point. And you can speak to this about coaches who have been in the situation that Fedora is. A lot of times coaches come in, take over a program, and they do inherit some pretty good players. Particularly if there's been a coaching change in the past and they get the leftovers, the best of the leftovers. But when those guys leave, as Fedora's first class left, then they're left with some guys who were recruited under certain circumstances. At Carolina, it was the probation, the controversy over Butch Davis and so forth. And it's really true that they don't have anywhere near the personnel that they had last year. They apparently filled up the last two recruiting classes just to fill up the classes. Understandably so, a lot of kids didn't want to commit to Carolina because they didn't know what the future held. So to talk about what kind of a situation a coach is in when he finds himself where Larry Fedora is right now.
Well, Art, you really captured it right there, and that's exactly what I've been telling people that have been calling into my radio show, is that, you know, Larry's a good football coach. I don't know him, but I've seen them play last year. They were organized. They had a good plan on offense and defense, and they had talent. And I think five of those kids went into the NFL, and that's a boatload of talent now to go into the NFL. And exactly what you said is, you know, you walk in, and there's some decent talent there, and then you've got two recruiting classes now that have been they haven't been recruited the way that Larry wanted to recruit them. I can put it that way. And so he's taken a lot of chances on some kids because of you know, his first year, he didn't have a full recruiting cycle to get to know him. And all of this now is bubbling to the surface. All of this chaos that Chapel Hill has gone through is bubbling to the surface right now. And it's just everybody's going to have to deal with it, including Fedora. But, I've said sarcastically, the worst thing that Larry ever did is win last year. Because, you know, in a, as coaches, we used to talk to each other, you know, at these head coach meetings, and we used to laugh about it a little bit. We'd say, you know, when you get a job with a new AD, the first thing you want to do is go in there and go 0-11, because your first year is always a mulligan. So you're going to get a contract extension no matter what. But when you go in and win early, and then the truth comes out, which is exactly what Larry's dealing with right now, guess what? That clock starts ticking, and everybody starts getting impatient. And so I'm hoping that Larry gets his feet on the ground. That's a good staff that he's got. They're good kids. But their talent's short right now. They just are. The good news is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who the head coach is at UNC. Given enough time, you can recruit good players there.
Bob Lee's with us, the great radio personality, the internet legend, and he's anxious to talk to you, Steve, about some stuff that you may not want to talk about.
All right, Coach, I got a couple of questions for you. Those of us in our business who are always talking and writing about sports and college sports particularly always have to get asked those questions about what's wrong with college sports and all the issues affecting the NCAA and whatnot. And I credit you with an explanation for that that I always give you credit for, and you may have copied it from P. Head Walker or somebody else along the lines. But that was that until the risks for getting caught are greater than the rewards for not getting caught, the problems will exist. I love that explanation.
Well, I truly believe that, and I don't think I took that from anybody, but I just know that there was many, many a day that I would be sitting at my desk, and I'd say to myself, what I really ought to do is just skin it back and go cheat as hard as I can and let the chips fall where they may, because I know that there were some people that really, really pushed the envelope. And I can tell you that all coaches break the rules a little bit. All of them, all of us do. At some way, somehow, I mean, nobody is perfectly pure in that business. And so, but there are some people that I know for a fact that were, and still do to this day, they flat out buy the talent. And, you know, when you get caught and things blow up, just look around. Those guys are the first ones hired. Why? Because they won a lot of football games. And until that stops, it ain't going to stop.
Well, now, Coach, is there any way to stop that other than to say if Coach A is found to have violated whatever set of rules, that he can no longer coach in the NCAA or NFL for, say, 5 years? Is something
that's
along
exactly
that line where you – go ahead.
That's exactly how you got to do it. I got news for you. Lou Holtz, you know that Lou Holtz left the University of Arkansas on probation? Do you know that Lou Holtz left the University of Minnesota on probation? Do you know that Lou Holtz left Notre Dame on probation? Do you know that Lou Holtz left South Carolina on probation? And his reward is he's got a $1 billion contract talking on ESPN.
You don't get invited to his Christmas parties, do you, Coach?
No, and I'll tell you one thing. The one time we played him, we beat him like a redheaded stepchild for about 3.5 hours, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
You know, I'll add one other name to that list, and that's John Calipari. He left Massachusetts on probation. He left Memphis on probation, and now he's at the top of the mountain in Kentucky.
Well, do you see why I used to sit at my desk and ask myself, what the hell am I doing?
So why did you decide not to go that route? Is this a moral thing? Is it a Christian thing? What is it, Steve, that kept you from doing that?
Well, in seriousness, everybody in the coaching profession has a personal moral compass. And on a comical side, at East Carolina, our biggest booster maybe had a total of about $50, so I couldn't have done it if I wanted to anyway.
That's a vintage Logan.
I can't believe you're talking about Henry Hinton that way. That's amazing.
That's all the money that Henry had was $50 total, so we had no chance.
All right, Coach, I got a question for you. Now that we've kind of gotten out of the deep and serious stuff, you are known as one of the most esoteric of all the people in the coaching profession, past, present, or future. You actually are known for reading books that are not just the biography of George Patton. So I'm going to ask you a question now. What do you think about Condi Rice being on the National Championship Selection Committee? You actually know who she is.
Listen to me now. all of your listeners right now need to go on WRALsportsfan.com, and I told story on the radio just last week about my personal encounter with Condoleezza Rice.
Okay.
And that story is on the website, and it has kind of gone viral. But on the football side of it, I don't think she's got any business being there. On the political side of it, I want everybody to know that I'm a huge Condi Rice fan. I think she's brilliant in all kinds of ways, but let's put it this way. If we had a problem in the Middle East and they called me to come help, I'd have World War III started in about 10 minutes.
Well, what do you think about Archie Manning being on the committee?
Well, I mean, that's kind of okay, but to be honest with you, here's what they needed to do. They needed to call Tom Osborne and say, Tom, go in that back room over there by yourself for about 10 minutes, come out here and tell us which four of these teams need to play. And that had been about the closest to the honest part that you could ever get. I happen to know Coach Osborne. I chased him around at every coach's clinic that I ever was able to get next to him. I got to know him very well. And what you see is exactly what you get. That, you know, it's class from the beginning. He's everything I'm not. He's a classy, straight-up guy.
All right, and Coach, I've got.
That makes me feel good that he's on there, because I promise you, when it's all said and done, he will lead those people in the right direction.
So are you saying, Steve, that 18 people on that committee is ridiculous to pick four teams when they pick 60, well, actually they pick really 37 at-large teams for the NCAA tournament. The rest of them are automatic qualifiers. But it seems 18 people coming from all these different areas to pick four football teams, it seems like they're making a much too big a deal out of what I mean, two or three of the teams are going to be no-brainers, right? Three are probably going to be no-brainers, and they have to decide on the fourth team.
That's exactly right. It's too many people, but here's the biggest mistake, and you're touching on it right now. The biggest mistake is this. Let me tell you something. When you got only four teams allowed into that tournament, I got news for you. Number five, if they leave out, I'll guarantee you that fifth team could be capable of winning that tournament. They needed to have gone to eight teams, because number nine, without a doubt, would not be able to win that tournament. It needed eight teams, period.
Well, Coach, you and I and Art, we deal with what I call board monkeys and the lunatic fringe all the time. These nut jobs out, and every fan base has them. It's like every house has cockroaches. Every fan base has a lunatic fringe. And the fifth, sixth, and seventh teams in the current thing are going to be screaming all kinds of conspiracy theories. We know that. And I mean, like the NC State fans, I know you love those folks. I do, too. But they're as nutty as a payday bar. And they're all going to be screaming. If you had eight teams, the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th are going to be screaming conspiracy theories. That's just part of the reality. I noticed this week Roy Williams is surprised at all the social media hatred for P.J. Harrison. And it's like, Roy, have you ever gone on Facebook and Twitter? Those people are nuts.
Well, there's no doubt they're nuts. You know, somebody called my radio show the other day and said, Coach, I just want you to know that I think East Carolina lost a game last week. Maybe they shouldn't have. And he said that somebody got on the Internet and typed these just terrible, terrible things about all the coaches and their families. And I said, let me tell you something. There's a special place in hell for those kinds of people, and they're going to get it when their time comes.
Well, you know all these coaches, and we had Vic Caning on here, who's now Larry's current defensive coordinator. And one of the questions I asked him was, had he talked to Dave Huxtable yet? Because when Dave Huxtable was here for John Bunning, and I think you know Dave. Dave may have coached for you, I believe, down there, or you know of him for sure.
When he was
here with John, it was brutal. I mean, they just decided he – and they were harassing his family, everything else. He finally got run out of town and went to work for George O'Leary down in Central Florida. But when fan bases lock on to you, it's like a snapping turtle biting on. They don't let go.
You're exactly right. And I'll tell you something. Vic Caning is from Owosso, Oklahoma. I'm from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. I've known Vic forever. And he's a hell of a good football coach. And I got news for you. If there's no talent available, you can coach till hell freezes over, and it ain't gonna matter. UNC is talent short right now. Extremely short. There's a lot of recruiting to do, and Larry Fedora, they may have to sacrifice Dick Koenig. That's the way the profession goes. But let me tell you something. I've coached against Dick when he was a defense coordinator down at Clemson for Tommy Bowden. And I tell you something, I had Matt Ryan, and it was all I could do to put about 21, 22 points on the board to win a football game against him. He's a hell of a good football coach, and that's a matter of fact.
Steve, we're going to let you go in a minute, but I want to ask you two questions about stories. Quick stories I want you to tell that really have sort of a tangential relationship to tonight's game. Tell us about when you went into Carter-Finley Stadium because of the hurricane and beat the Hurricanes. And then tell us about the fumble at Keenan Stadium that cost you that game.
Well, you know, the hurricane deal was just, it was almost, I don't know what you call it. It was just one of those circumstantial events that came about, and Lord knows we came run up there to Carter-Finley to play, you know, the University of Miami, and they were rated in the top 10 or whatever they were. But, we had a really, really good football team. David Gard was a quarterback, and he ended up being a 12, 13-year NFL football player, for crying out loud. So I knew that we had good talent. We were exhausted when we got there. I know that because, that was the week before we had gone down to South Carolina and beat the hell out of Lou Holtz. A little backstory to that is after we beat him, we found out we couldn't go back to Greenville. And so I called the South Carolina administration, asked if I could use their facilities to practice during the week for the game that we were going to now play in Carter-Finley Stadium. Lou Holtz said, hell no, you cannot come on our campus. So there's one more reason I don't like the guy.
You surpass your legend, Coach. You're great. You're wonderful. I love you, no, Coach.
I'm just telling you the truth. We had to go out in the middle of a hayfield and practice all week long, which we did. And then we went up there, and at halftime, it was 21-3 or something stupid like that. And the only reason we didn't get beat is because my football team was too stupid to quit.
All right, now tell us about, I want you to sort of just take a deep breath when you talk about this one, because I know it's one of your favorite memories, the fumble in Keenan Stadium. What year was it, 2008? What year was that?
I don't know, 2000, 2001 or something like that. All I know is this. There are some games that you can prepare for and you can coach and you can make good calls and you can do everything right, but there is no doubt in my mind that God Almighty has decided you're not going to win that game. And that was one of them, because we went into Chapel Hill and we beat those people up one side and down the other. I had an 82-yard touchdown pass called back. I had a 100-yard kickoff return that ended up being fumbled through the end zone. I had an interception that the quarterback threw. It bounced off three helmets. Swear to goodness, it went off of three helmets, and their tight end caught it for a touchdown. I took my headsets off, and I said, that's it. We're going to get beat, and I'm going home, and that was it.
Well, you have given us reason to hope that the football gods might be with the Tar Heels tonight, because from what you say about X's and O's and who's going to be on the field, otherwise we don't have a chance.
Turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. You better get some turnovers. That's all I got to say.
I hope we get some early. Steve, thanks so much. I know you got a really busy schedule. You got to get back on the radio and make those jokers gold and obvious look good. So have a great weekend. Watch a lot of games, and we'll talk to you real soon.
I appreciate you having me on. See y'all.
All right. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Sports with Art C. and Bob Lee. We're going to take a quick break. We're broadcasting live from in front of Bailey Sports Grill at Rams Plaza. We're going to go back down to Tar Heel downtown in just a moment, where Rand Northam and the crew are standing by. A lot of excitement down there on West Franklin Street. I'm Ron Stutz, back with more coming up on WCHL.
Basketball and the Big Apple, what more could you want? Well, with the Continental Tire Basketball and Big Apple giveaway presented by Seagrove's Insurance, you'll get that plus much more. How about a trip for two to New York City to watch the Tar Heels play in the Hall of Fame Tip-Off Classic? There are 38 sponsor locations around town for you to submit an entry to, including Home Watch Caregivers, Kitchen Works, Louise Beck Properties, Mama Dips, and Moe's Bottle Shop. We're drawing finalists from each location every week for the next 4 weeks. You can also become a finalist by calling into the WCHL morning, afternoon, and evening news every weekday by submitting an entry online at chapelboro.com or on Chapelboro's Facebook page. Remember, you can enter via every entry method in every sponsor location once each week, including PTA Thrift Shop, R&R Grill, 10,000 Villages, and Southern Rail. So make sure you're one of our finalists for the Continental Tire Basketball and Big Apple Giveaway, presented by Seagrove's Nationwide Insurance.
This is Kit Ballou of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin, and we're still here. The last few years have been, shall we say, a challenge, but honestly, this year has been a turnaround, not just for us, but for the real estate market in general. Don't get me wrong, this is still a tough environment for housing.
It is, but our agents really know what they're doing. They have the resources they need, they persevere, and they're not afraid to tell you the truth. Our reputation for having a long-term perspective and a dogged commitment to getting the job done keeps us ranked among the top 20 firms in the Triangle.
And among the very top in Chapel Hill. We often tell you what to do, how we do it, and why you should call us if you need a realtor. We want to introduce you to the rest of Franklin Street Realty.
Go to franklinstreetrealty.com, look for houses, and check out our agents. You'll find former restaurateurs, teachers, counselors, tennis players, even a midwife. You might be surprised at who we are or were.
Franklin Street Realty at 929-7174. Why would you call anyone else?
We're back now at the Good Sports with Bob C. and Art Bob Lee.
Bob C. and Art Lee. No, it's Bob C. and Art Lee.
I'm confused. Right. Yeah. Remember. Which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Steve Logan will do that to you.
I know. He will. He's amazing. He's really candid and really interesting to talk to. We are broadcasting live from in front of Bailey Sports Grill. We're going to take you back now to downtown, the 100 block of West Street. Rand Northam is standing by.
You tell him he's limited to 7 interviews.
Hey, thank you, Ron. Yeah, Liquid Pleasure is still rolling right now. A little bit of rain didn't slow them down at all. And I'm joined with Matt Oakes, Rachel Nash, of course. And it's been a great time out here. We're going to do a little predictions right now. The energy has been hot here all night. Of course, we had the marching band come in, and that was electric. I mean, it just really raised the energy here.
Down to the stadium, then we'll be set. But that's the question.
Yeah, the perfect ending to the night would be the Tar Heels light up the night.
Exactly.
So we'll see.
Well, it's going to be Ron Stutz wants it in all black. He doesn't want any lights on or anything. We're just going to guess what's going on.
He's such a rebel, that Ron. He's such a rebel.
Turn the lights out.
Well, I'm going to let you go first, Rachel. Ladies first.
Man. Okay. Let me preface it. It does not look good for the Heels tonight with the way the season has gone so far. I'm going to be a little wishy-washy right now, but if there were to be an upset, it would be this game, given the history that the Heels have had against Miami. I mean, we've seen some magical moments, so if it's going to happen, it's going to be tonight. I'll say it does not look good after losses to ECU and Virginia Tech and the way Miami took down Georgia Tech recently on October 5th. But we'll see.
5-0, number 10 in the country. Matt, what do you think? What's the score going to be tonight?
Wow. I'm looking forward to it. I think they'll give an inspired performance. We need a good start. We have to get off to a good start to get the crowd into it and the belief there in the team. But I can't do it. I hope I'm dead wrong, but the Canes, they're gonna beat us, unfortunately.
Well, full disclosure, I picked a 35-10 decision in favor of Miami. Now, I'm still not going to go with Carolina, but I've got to bring it a bit closer. I'm going to say 28-21, Miami over North Carolina tonight. We'll see. The rain has let up here.
It's the rain is another factor.
We'll see which offense that slows down tonight. Again, it has not slowed down Kenny Mann and Liquid Pleasure.
Oh,
they are rolling.
Yeah, Kenny Mann is never stopping.
And I know the town of Chapel Hill is probably happy because what the rain did is forced everybody indoors to all the businesses, so that's good.
That's good.
We're going to sign off here from Tar Heel downtown live on Franklin Street. It's been a great event. Hopefully we can do this every year and maybe just a Saturday night. A big thank you to Wes Tillman of the Chapel Hill Parks and Rec Department and everyone in that department who helped us set this up here on Franklin Street. UNC Athletics, the Chapel Hill Downtown Partnership, and the Town of Chapel Hill partnered together to make this event happen. Also, a big thank you to Anthony Wellman, Lauren Stafford from Matt Oaks, and Rachel Nash, as well as Zach Godwin from ChapelBoro.com. I'm Rand Northam. To close things out, let's send it back over to Rams Plaza with Ron Stutz and Art Chansky and Bob Lee for the final minutes of the Good Sports with Artsy and Bob Lee. Ron?
Rand, it may be raining down on West Franklin Street. It's not rained a drop here at Rams Plaza, so things looking good here.
It never rains at Bailey's.
Well,
it,
that's true.
It never rains at Bailey's.
It never rains
at Rams Plaza.
It never rains in Southern California.
I have a question.
It never rains at your house.
It never rains because Dance Design is here. Everybody's outside dancing,
exactly.
Whether it's rain or not.
Exactly.
Tuesday Morning Boutique is here. Mr. Tire is here.
Yeah.
You know, the Better Sleep Store is here, so after this show, Ron, you can go take a nap.
Not only that, but it never rains on Ryan Watts, wherever he is.
Ryan Watts is on the phone with today's edition of Weird Fan. Oh, what happened to him?
I guess we lost him.
I have a question.
He went away.
And this is to our audience. If a little bitty chancellor gets wet, does she shrink?
Oh, gosh. Be in her office at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it true?
And I'm not going anywhere near the campus.
Of great quotes, does P-Head Walker steal quotes from Steve Logan?
No, he doesn't. Hmm. Steve Logan is the original.
That's what I'm saying. So P-Head Walker, who was credited with everything else, that actually P-Head Walker was stealing quotes from Steve Logan.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Before Steve Logan was born.
I got a question for you, Chansky.
Yeah.
Last Sunday in the NFL, on any given Sunday, something happened that had never happened in the history of the NFL. Do you know what that was?
Starting quarterback got injured and was cheered.
No, that's happened before in Philadelphia.
That was disgusting.
What happened, and this is a great one, I came up with this one. NC State, Duke, and UNC all had alumni quarterbacks who got their uniforms dirty on the same Sunday in the NFL.
Yep.
That being any of the three, Glennon, Russell Wilson, or Philip Rivers for
Thad
NC State.
Lewis.
Thad Lewis. Yep. And T.J. Yates got in to replace the shattered and burned in the parking lot, Matt Schaub. Now, so that's Carolina State and Duke. But in the early 60s, when you and I were just coming of age, something happened where NC State, Duke, and Wake Forest all had starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Can you name them?
Roman Gabriel.
NC State.
Okay. Sonny Jurgensen.
Duke.
Frank.
Nope.
Name it.
Norm Snead.
Norm Snead. You are just a bastion of trivia.
Boy, you're speechless.
That's why they call him the trivial Bob.
Sonny Jurgensen, Roman Gabriel, who one of the greatest names in the history of great names,
yeah.
And Norm Snead in the early 60s.
I just want to tell you that my wife is on here on the way here to pick me up, and we're going to the game, but I have a shovel in the back of the car that I'm going to give to you so you can dig your way out.
I'm not the one that did the thing, the line about blocking
back.
This is the Good Sports with Artsy and Bob Lee. I'm Ron Sutz. We'll take a break. We'll come back in just a moment to wrap it up from here. Bailey Sports Grill at Rams Plaza on WCHL.
2 minute drill.
UNC Family Medicine is proud to announce the grand opening of a new Saturday morning sports injury clinic to treat your acute injuries. UNC Family Medicine will treat everything from casting to ultrasounds to x-rays, as well as provide surgical consults and concussion evaluations. And you can walk in without an appointment from 8 to 10 a.m. The Saturday Morning Sports Clinic at UNC Family Medicine. Find out more at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
Hey, we're back at the Good Sports. This is Art C with Bob Lee, or Bob Lee and Art C, or Bob C and Art Lee. Hey, Ryan Watts is on the phone with today's installment of Weird Fan, pregame fan. Ryan, are you there?
I am here, and I wish I could say it was a little less like a hurricane than it is. The weather, can you guys give me a weather report from there?
The weather report is fairly sunny and nice here. I don't know what's happening in downtown Chapel Hill.
Move the game to Rams Plaza.
Exactly.
We've got a great weather here.
What weird hurricanes have you encountered today?
Well, the weather is a little too into the Zero Dark Thursday theme. The clouds are looking a little heavy. Hopefully, it's going to hold off for a little bit. I'm excited to go to the game, and I don't want to be rained on. But there's a good crowd out here. Not as many Miami fans as there were ECU fans a few weeks ago.
So the Canes don't travel. Is that what you're telling us?
Certainly not on a Thursday night, but also judging by the look of these parking lots, there are more than a few Tar Heels scared away from this weather and Thursday night.
The Canes don't even travel to their home games.
All right, exactly. Ryan, what's your prediction tonight?
Well, you know, ESPN psyched me out earlier today. I was watching highlights of the 2009 game, the Kendrick Burney Show, as it has been termed before. So I'm feeling optimistic, but I'm an optimistic fan, as you guys know. So it's hard to say. I'm hoping to keep it close.
All right. What they used to say in the old days is spawn in sand and pray for rain. Right, Bob Lee?
Absolutely. Milwaukee Braves.
How about?
Faith and Sweat and Lou Burdett.
Thank you, Ryan Watts.
Pray for a hurricane.
Thank you very much.
Hey, so.
Hey, you want to do this two-minute drill?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. We got to do quickly here.
Give us one, Ron.
The two-minute grit. We need the over-under on this game. Right. What do you guys think? And
what's the crowd going to be like?
Over-under on the in-stadium crowd as of 8 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
That takes the late arrivals. I say 48,000 Kirshner crowd.
The Kirshner.
That's when you close one eye, squint it with the other one, and say, hey, Gwaltney, I think they're about 48,000, and you write it down.
And then go get examined for double vision on Monday morning.
Exactly.
All right, and the next question. On December 1st, which team is going to have more W's, Carolina, State, Virginia, Duke, or Wake?
I say the Blue Devils of Dave Cutcliffe will have the most victories of those four schools.
Now, here's the way it'll be. On December 1st, UNC with 6, Duke with 6, State with 5, Wake with 5, and UVA with 4.
Will that be the end of Mike London?
And Mike Golden, who is the capital of Britain.
England. Great Britain. Right?
Mike Golden will still have his job.
The sun never sets on Mike London.
Exactly. How about Al Golden? Will he be there too? At any rate, all right, you guys want to make your closing statements for the game. What's your prediction?
My prediction is the Hurricanes 35-21. I think that the Tar Heels will acquit themselves well, but as Coach Logan confirmed earlier, you know what? The defense. You got no players on defense. We couldn't stop the lumbering wide receivers for the Virginia Tech Hokies. How are we going to stop these speed merchants from Miami?
And, what I'm looking forward to is seeing Sam Ponder, the only member of her family who currently has a job. Well, Samantha Ponder.
No. I'm the only one here who's going to predict a Carolina win. I may as well go out on a limb. I think Carolina's going to upset the Hurricanes tonight. I've been doing terribly on the Chapelboro.com pick'em poll all season long. Anthony Wellman and I have been dragging the bottom, but I'm going to leave you in the dust tonight, Anthony. I'm picking a win for the Tar Heels.
You always do that, Ron. You know why?
Why?
Because if you should be correct, everybody will remember that Ron Stutz,
he
the
gets
unofficial
to do an hour Monday morning on how right he was.
The Tar Heels.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Even though it was based on nothing except your love of the Tar Heels.
And if I'm wrong, nobody will even think anything about it because I'm usually wrong.
They always forget when you're wrong, and when you're right, you just make sure they remember.
Yeah.
All right, here's one last question for you, Bob.
Yes, sir.
What is the season series, historical season series, how does it stand between Miami and Carolina? Who's leading it?
Did we ever beat Fran Kersey and George Myra?
Yeah. No.
I think Jim Tatum did. I think maybe George Barkley might have beaten Fran Kersey.
Well, here's how
Andy Gustafson was their coach back in the leather helmet days.
Here's
but
how
Rick Barry played football for
Here's
him.
How it stands, okay? Here's how it stands.
Okay.
It's 8-6. Tar Heels have won 8. The Hurricanes have won 6. But it's interesting because there have been two eras of this game. One era, 8 games between 1946 and 1963, the Gator Bowl year, remember, in which they played 7 times, and the Tar Heels won 4 and lost 3. Yeah. Then they started up again in 2004. They played 7 times again, and the Heels have gone 4-3.
But we can't have a UNC Miami game without mentioning the name of Butch Davis because he ties the two together. Butch Davis. We've mentioned Butch Davis.
We tried, and you blew it.
Thanks for bringing that up. This has been The Good Sports with Art C. And
that's
Art,
me.
One more time. What do you think? What's going to happen?
It's going to be 35-21 Miami. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm deadly wrong.
And Bob Lee.
35-14 Canes.
And I'll see you weekdays on WCHL, and I'll write to you on chapelboro.com.
And I'll have my huddle-up column up, I guess, Monday or tomorrow. When do I do a huddle-up now?
You do it anytime
you want. Anytime I want to huddle up. Catch my huddle up on Chapelboro and catch Bob Lee Says anytime.
The readership is waiting with bated breath for you, so I'll see you, and we'll both see you next time on the Good Sports, if there is a Good Sports the next time.
Really, there's no question about that.
It's a show that knows
you go black and tells it to you. This is Ron Stutz, a Good Sports dessert before every Carolina football game on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. We'll be right back.